making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Welcome to another edition and another week of Abounding Grace, a ministry of the United Reformed Church here in Linden. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and again, we're taking up this exciting subject of marriage and the family, and what an important subject to consider in our days. Last week, we considered what the Bible outlines, what the role of the woman is, and what God had set up and designed at creation. This week, we're going to continue in our sub-series on marriage and the family, and now turn our focus to the role of the Christian husband. Last week, we considered, of course, the great damage that feminism has brought to the marriage institution. It is a direct attack on God's way, His plan, His original design for what the marriage should reflect. From the beginning, of course, God had created the woman to be the helpmeet for the man, to be submissive as to the Lord, as the Bible says, and to be a pattern of godliness. 1 Peter 3 says, a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of the Lord. But feminism, of course, facilitating the curse for dominance and liberation, has left us with a very sad situation, creating a society of strong, domineering women who are so far out of the roles that God has outlined that the very foundation of the marriage institution is under attack. Now, I don't say this to be contentious, and I don't say this to be cruel. I simply am aligning what is going on today in our society and asking, is the Bible say this is okay? And it says absolutely not. The Bible is very clear. And the call, of course, that we considered last week is for the woman to return to the roles that God has set up from the beginning. A beautiful role, and one that promotes nurturing care and protection from her husband. And of course, as we looked at last week, the only way that will again be achieved is if we are in Jesus Christ, if we are believers. If not, again, we will continue down that path of divergence and separation from what God designed at creation. But this morning, I want to turn to the opposite side and look at the opposite side in the role of men. We have to say that feminism and women's liberation, emancipation, independence, whatever form we want it might take, is not something that has arisen in its own right. It is the result of something else. It is the byproduct of negligence elsewhere. It is a reaction against a breakdown at the top, if you will. And this morning, we must say that any abandonment of the God-given roles on the part of the woman is a byproduct of the failure of the man to exercise the roles that God has outlined for him. God has given to man the great responsibility to lead in the home, to be the head of the home, to spiritually care for and nourish his own family. The responsibility so great that God says it models and it pictures his sacrificial love that he has for his spiritual family, the church. A love so great that Christ willingly subjected himself to the cross for his spiritual bride. And God ordained the husband's love for his wife to pattern that love that Christ has for his church. But today, friends, the picture is completely marred. And there is a decrying of the lamentable lack and abandonment of the man to spiritually lead and care for his home, especially his wife. We might start by asking this morning, what has happened? Where's the biblical man anymore? Where are those spiritual giants who lead in the home? It has become almost socially acceptable for the man to neglect home life so long as he is successful outside the home. And as the world continues to shelf Barnes & Noble's with book after book about marital success, love, everything else, the same sad story always seems to appear. The woman decrying because there simply is no relationship with her husband. No leadership in the home. He is a work giant. He's good at making money. He does well in his job or his business. Timely for appointments there. Always seems to converse well with everyone else other than his family. And when, after a hard day at work, he comes home, he just wants to be left alone. And ironically, as aggressive as he is in the workplace, the home is the place where he's completely passive and uncaring, especially when it comes to spiritual things. Now, this is the language I read and I hear about a lot by so many in our day. I'm not saying anything that anyone else elsewhere hasn't said. And really, society pictures this for us very well. Well, today I want to consider just what God expects of the Christian husband in light of all that we've said in terms of his relationship with his wife. And God, of course, has said a lot about that also. He's given great instruction on how husbands are to function in their roles and to love their wives. And the responsibility is big. The man who willingly takes to himself a wife and then with her raises children is the one accountable for the family. Is the one whom the Lord is coming to for accountability. Every man who heads his home will have to give an account for how he led in his family. He is the one who bears the responsibility. And this morning, in light of Ephesians 5, my first point is to see that God calls the Christian husband to have a self-sacrificing love for his wife. Let's pick up in verse 25. Again, this is Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, what a calling, isn't it? Here, the Lord himself, through the apostles, calls us to love our wives as husbands. Now, if this were a lesser comparison, or if even the call was to stand in its own right, we might not live with as much concern. But this is no slack comparison. The Lord calls us to love and to model and represent the love that Jesus Christ has shown and continues to show to his church. Now, I, for one, always like to think about the opposite side of the coin. Here we're told that from the beginning, the marriage institution was designed and purposed to reflect the gospel. When the Lord gave the command, therefore a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, when he said this, he was setting up an institution from at the very creation of the world would be a visible model before all of what Christ's sacrificial love for his church looks like. And so right out of the gate, we see that the marriage relationship hangs and is dependent upon the husband's love for the wife. Notice that Paul here doesn't call the woman to love the man. He calls her to show willing submission to the man. Why? Well, friends, listen to this. Because she's wired and she's created to be a responding vessel to the love that the man shows to her. And it is here that the gospel becomes so clear. In this context, we're struck with the fact that the curse itself was a direct hit and a pointed attack on the roles that God had set up at the beginning. And so there's no doubt that this is going to be hard work. This is what has made life in the marriage relationship strained. It has left a great tension, a great propensity for conflict and trouble because they're simply these two are simply put in conflict of interest. Again, I want you to think about Genesis chapter 3 in verse 16. We looked at this last week. And here we need to be reminded that God has given over man and woman when they willingly chose to rebel against what God said at the beginning. He gave them over in their sin. And last week we considered the fact that Eve was deceived by stepping out of her role. trying to control her husband through offering him the fruit. And God gave woman over to that desire as part of the curse. Just as sin's desire was for Cain, so now there's something inborn, something now wired because of sin in the woman to have a desire, a sinful desire to control her husband. And so, as the New Testament outlines, her salvation will be evidenced by a returning to the roles that God has ordained for her to be submissive with a gentle and quiet spirit. And that, of course, is maintained throughout the New Testament, something which Eve didn't demonstrate in the garden. But what about the man? Well, the first question that we have to ask is, where was Adam when Eve was deceived, right? I mean, the immediate inclination is to think of Adam as somewhere out there when this occurred, maybe out by the lake, taking a break. But if we read Genesis 3:4 very carefully, we read this. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened." Listen to verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Listen to this. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Did you hear that? He was there through the whole thing. Now, the picture that we have is that if Eve was the one trying to control the situation, Adam was the one not leading. Here comes the devil. Here comes a serpent trying to seduce his wife. And Adam just stands there silent through the whole thing as the serpent leads away his wife. This is a terrible picture. His wife is being led away into spiritual adultery. What should Adam have done? He should have stood up in righteous anger and crushed the serpent's head right then and there. And we wouldn't be in this mess, but he didn't. And that's why we're in need for a different Adam, a second Adam, to come and do what the first Adam didn't. Jesus Christ to come again, and the New Testament maintains, to crush the head of Satan, which is called Golgotha, the hill, which he did, the place of the skull. When he went to the cross, Adam should have loved his wife. He should have led her as a husband. He should have shown spiritual leadership. He should have protected her. He should have given himself for her. That's what Jesus does for us, of course. And the call today is no more passive men. Give us strong leaders, strong husbands in the home, and we will see a turnaround. And again, reflect this grand design that God has given, that when the husband loves the wife, he shows sacrificially what Christ did in giving himself for his church. Let's think about that today, friends, as we go back to these roles that God has established for us, and as husbands again learn to love their wives as Christ loved the church. To give you a warm invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. You may visit us on the web, www.lindenurc.com, or you may call 360-318-0429. May you have a blessed day, and may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.